One place NASA is sure to look for a possible cause of today's shuttle failure is at what are called auxiliary power units, or APUs. They provide power to the orbiter's steering mechanisms during descent. NPR's Howard Berkus has been looking into that and joins us now. Howard, can you briefly describe auxiliary power units and explain why investigators would be interested in them?
Yeah. As you said, these are units that are used during the descent of the space shuttle to Earth, and they power the hydraulics that permit steering of the shuttle. There are three of them. They're located inside the aft or the rear fuselage of the orbiter, and they contain super fast turbines. And they actually have been been of some concern to NASA, to people in and outside of NASA for a long time, because they require highly flammable and explosive hydrazine fuel. And in fact, auxiliary power units have been at the top of NASA's list of the parts to redesign, parts that is that are used during entry or descent of the space shuttle.
And how could they have had anything to do with what happened today?
Well, shuttle experts both inside and outside of NASA who I've spoken with say it's possible that one of the auxiliary power units sprung a fuel leak. It's an environment in which ignition would be relatively simple. A fire or explosion could result. And if the explosion is big enough, it could send the orbiter out of control, which would cause it to break up. A fire or explosion could also cause failure in the hydraulic system. That controls the steering mechanisms, and that would also make the orbiter impossible to steer.
Well, then the question is, Howard, this was a shuttle that had been in orbit for days. It was reentering the atmosphere. If any of the steering mechanisms failed in the scenario you describe, would there be evidence of any steering problems before the catastrophic failure?
There might. NASA officials did say today that there was nothing unusual about the orbiter's trajectory or its steering just before it broke up, at least nothing that was evident while the data was still being being sent by the orbiter and received by NASA. I'm told that it's possible that a large explosion could cause a quick failure of steering and trajectory, which would tear the aircraft apart.
Now, you mentioned a minute ago that NASA wants to redesign these auxiliary power units. What's the status there?
There was a plan to replace these flammable hydrazine fuel that's used in these units with battery power. But engineers were finding it difficult to make that happen. The batteries add significant weight to the space shuttle, and weight is always a concern on the shuttle. And the cost estimates for this program rose to more than $500 million, and it was scrapped during budget cutting at NASA. NASA's under really tight money constraints, and so this program was eliminated.
So we know that these auxiliary power units would have been in operation as the shuttle maneuvered to slow down, right?
That's right. They're in operation through the entire descent process.
And we know we're not going to get any final answers today. But given that, do you have any sense of how seriously investigators are taking this as a possible cause?
I have absolutely no idea what the investigators are thinking. But people who are familiar with the space shuttle tell me that it is one thing they'll look at, and I want to be very clear about that. There's absolutely no evidence that these auxiliary power units had anything to do with what happened today, but it is a line of inquiry that makes sense to some people. It's one place to look. It's something that should be eliminated as a possible cause, but it is of interest because of the presence of this explosive fuel and this link that the units have to the steering mechanisms on the shuttle.
Howard, remind us if you can. You were involved, if I'm not mistaken, in NPR's coverage of the last shuttle disaster in 1986.
That's right.
Can you and broke help to break one of the major stories, one of the biggest stories there? Can you just describe that investigation, your memories of that time, and how officials went about trying to learn what went wrong?
Well, what strikes me now most about what happened then in the post-Challenger investigation was what didn't happen early on. One of the reasons that we broke the story we broke was because there was some suspicion about engineers being pressured to recommend that Challenger be launched against their will. They had actually expressed in a meeting with Morton Thiokol officials and NASA officials that it was too cold that morning to launch. It was going to be too cold, and that the solid rocket booster joints might not seal tightly. What was interesting to me is that we had talked to some Morton Thiokol engineers who had not been talked to by the investigators who were looking into what happened with Challenger. This was 3 weeks after Challenger exploded. And these people who participated in the decision to launch and who actually participated in an argument over launching had not been talked to yet. Some engineers had been. We found several who hadn't, who were key players in that. That struck me as unusual back then. A lot has been learned since Challenger. NASA's culture has changed somewhat since Challenger. There's a lot more scrutiny of NASA. There'll be a lot of scrutiny of this. I doubt that something like that would happen again. But one thing that is happening is they're going to go through every aspect of that space shuttle and see what is a possibility for failure and consider it a possibility for failure until they determine that it didn't fail.
Howard, thanks very much for your work today.
Thank you, Steve.
NPR's Howard Berkus.